Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from a beautiful city of Orlando and the cities thereabout. Oh, yes, we're so glad to be with you again today, and we're sending greetings to each and every one of you. Those that are listening on a continual basis, we send greetings to you. Lots of love and lots of hugs. If you were here, I'd squeeze you real tight and tell you that I love you. I really, really do. So glad that you're there listening. And we trust today that you will give us a call, all right? 347-857-3925. And we want you, and you to call in. We want our board to light up today with your calls, okay? Because I know you got something to say about what is going to be said or what have said the previous broadcast. You may want to say something because today we still have that beautiful, anointed, called by God, woman to come forth today again. Oh, wasn't she wonderful? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. I know it was. And guess what? She's an educated woman now, too. You see what I'm saying? Oh, she got it together, people. She got it together. You got to get on. Go call your friends, your enemies. Call them that don't like you, think they don't, and just call all of them. You know, tell them you got to hear this woman. Tell them right now. You got a few seconds while Sister Diane start to pray. You got a few seconds to call your friends, enemies, and anybody else you want to call, mama, daddy, and all cousin, uncle, and cousin, aunt, and everybody else. You got time to do that. Call Bobo, too, okay? All right. We're going to bring to you now, Sister Diane is going to pray some for you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name, Lord. Father God, for you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thanking you, Lord, Father God, for us yet seeing this day clothed in our right mind, Lord Father. We come before you, Lord Father God, asking you for forgiveness for all sin, Lord Father God, that we have committed against you, Lord Father God, in thought, deeds, and in actions, Lord Father. Have mercy, Lord Father God, upon us, Lord Father. Father God, as I rest my hand, Lord, Father God, upon this prayer list, Lord, Father. Father God, you know each and every person name by name, Lord, Father. But Father God, I start off the prayer, Father God, praying today, Lord, Father God. Father God, for the family, Lord, Father God, of those kids that lost their life yesterday in that school shooting, Father God. Father God, touch them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father God. Give them peace and comfort, Lord Father. Father God, for those that don't know you, Father, we ask, Lord Father God, in this day, Lord Father God. Father God, that they gave their life, Lord Father God, to you this day, Lord Father. And Father God, that you give them the peace, Lord Father God, that they need, Lord Father. Father, we even pray, Lord Father God, for the shooter today, Lord Father God. Father God, we ask you to touch his mind right now, Lord Father God. Touch his parents' mind, Lord Father, his family, Lord Father God, that is even dealing with this right now, Lord Father God. Father God, have mercy on them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord Father. Father God, there's so much chaos going on in this world, Lord Father. Oh, Father God, strengthen your people this day, Lord Father God. Father God, that they're able, Lord, Father God, to stand, Lord, Father God, and keep you, Lord, Father God, first and foremost, Lord, Father. Father God, touch each and every person, Lord, Father God, upon this prayer list, Lord, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father God, for healing, Lord, Father. Healing the mind, Lord, Father. Healing the spirit man, Lord, Father. Father God, even touching the backsliders right now, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, we thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for having your way, Lord, Father God, your will being done, Lord, Father God, in their lives right now, Lord, Father. Father God, those that are crying out, Lord, Father God, for the unsaved loved ones, Lord, Father, we pray, Lord, Father God, that they do about face, Lord, Father God, and Father God, fall to their knees, Lord, Father God, asking you, Lord, Father God, for repentance, Lord, Father God. And, Father God, that they come to you, Lord, Father God, knowing you, Father, as their Lord and Savior, Lord, Father. We pray, Lord, Father God, for each and every person, Lord, Father God, upon this line today, Lord, Father God. Father God, go into their homes. You know what they need, Lord, Father. Father God, we release peace today, Lord, Father God, into their homes, Lord, Father God. Oh, Father God, where there is chaos, Lord, Father God, we speak peace, Lord, Father. Father God, we speak peace that pass all understanding right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Father God, we pray today, Lord, Father God, for our youths today, Lord, Father God. Touch their minds right now, Lord, Father God. Father God, we thank you, Lord, Father God, how you continue, Lord, Father God, to bring our loved ones, Lord, Father God, home safely, Lord, Father God, from their schools, Lord, Father God, from their jobs, Lord, Father. We thank you, Lord, Father God, for hearing prayers, Lord, Father. Now, Father God, as this broadcast go forth, Lord, Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We cancel and render all assignment, Lord, Father God, that was sent towards this broadcast, Lord, Father, or any one of the speakers right now, Lord, Father. We render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus is against you. And we thanking you right now, Lord, Father God, for even showing up and showing out, Lord, Father God, upon this prayer line, Lord, Father God. Excuse me, upon this broadcast, Lord, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, I ask you, Lord, Father God, to touch my apostle, Lord, Father God. Decrease her, Lord, Father God, as you increase in her, Lord, Father. Even touch this cough, Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. We thank you for the laughter. We thank you for the healing of her throat right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, we thank you for Pastor Dungy, Lord, Father. Pastor Sharon and Deacon Michael, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father, decrease them, Lord, Father God, as you increase in them, Lord, Father, and we say, have your way, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Amen and amen and amen again. We thank the Lord for dying in that prayer. We want to thank her for that. Let me give you a little quick word right quick, okay? It is faith which lights us into sustaining realities beyond those perceived by the physical sense. It is faith which lights us into sustaining realities beyond those perceived by the physical senses.
All right, amen to that. See where your faith is today. How about that?
Amen.
Is that right? Amen, amen again. We thank God for Deacon Mike, amen, standing by. Yes, yes, glory be to God, you know. We just want to thank you. I just need to a way to just thank Pastor Dungy, you know, for just being here, blessing us. Trust that she had a pleasant Valentine's Day, Love Day, Happy Day. And that's the happy day to me, the day that we all should be in our happy place, right? That's where we should be, praise God. This author, she's the author of Faith is No Accident. Volume 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, you can get them, you know, on her page, on her website. Also, wherever you can get that from her, okay? Now, we want you to call today because this woman of God has had to have a little series of things that God has placed in her heart, and we just want to help you get it today because the world needs this word today. It needs it bad. Do you understand? You need it bad. I need it bad. We all need this. All right? Amen, amen. And we're not going to. Now, I want you to, if you got questions, you want to ask, you want to comment on what is being said, we will give you the time to do that, okay? Is that all right? I know it's all right. You're gonna go with the flow today. Yes, yes, yes. You're going to go with the flow. So we thank God for Diane, Sister Diane. You know, she might be a little under because the weather is very foggy here today, cloudy and muggy, you know, all that good stuff. Amen. But we're going to lighten it up. Woo! Hallelujah! I know. I sound kind of foggy. That's because I have this little throat problem here and all. But you know what? I can still praise God. Hallelujah! Glory to God because He's doing great things right now for us. Amen. I'm going to say to you today, are you ready? Did you call that last friend? You know that one you don't like? Call them too. Okay, call them, you know, call them right now. Tell them to come on the line. Give them the number. Let them come on the line. And when they want something to say, you know, they just have to do, just click one, you know, and we'll get you there, all right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, other than our dear friend, Diane Dungy, expertise. Oh, she's an expert, believe me. Y'all, she is an expert. She make me feel so bad, you know. I wish I knew everything she know, you know. Bless God. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I love this lady. You know, I didn't have to learn to love her. I just love her when I saw her. Amen, when I talk to her. You're a lover, too. Don't you love her? Call her and tell her you love her right now. Just tell her you love her. She'll feel good, too. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you. Oh, Pastor, we just love you, you know. Praise God, praise God. And let me tell you now, she's a writer, and she's a counselor, and she's a chaplain, and she's just an all-around person, okay? Amen. And she loves your soul. She want to see you advance in the kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have online at this time, none other than Diane
Dungy. Hallelujah. Praise God. Apostle, you just, I don't know what to say about you. But you know what? I love you too. I love you too. Like you said, when we first met each other on the phone line, God had already set that love up. And then when I came down there in Florida and met you guys in person, it was just a now thing. I mean, there was no pretense. It just happened, and that's just how God does things. He said we can try the Spirit by the Spirit, and you have a beautiful, awesome, loving spirit. I can't help but to love you. I can't help to love all that God has caused you to be, and even those that you have surrounding you. God puts us together with like people, and He did that for you. I just like to say good morning to all my beautiful sisters and brothers out there in Radio Land. I thank God for you today. I thank God for waking us, each and every one of us, up this morning in our right minds, allowing us another chance, another opportunity to make whatever we did yesterday, even this morning, whatever we did wrong, God will give us the decision. He will give us the opportunity to make it right. I just thank God for being God all by Himself. He is so awesome. I just love Him. Because He loves us unconditionally. There's nothing we can do or say that will cause God to love us any less. I thank Bishop and I thank Apostle Porter for sharing their platform with me and trusting me with their radio audience. Thank them for trusting me with them. And I praise God for the beautiful people that he's given to work alongside of them, Minister Diane, Deacon Michael, Pastor Sharon, beautiful, beautiful people in the Lord. And you know what? This whole group of people, loving people, invited me to be a part of their lives. I'm telling you, they can't get rid of me now. I'm here to stay. That's all I got to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I hope everybody had a good Valentine's Day on yesterday. I praise God that I have loving children. I mean, they dressed me to the nines, got my hair fixed, and took me out to my favorite restaurant, Perry's. Big old nice juice pork chop. It was awesome. We had a great time. So family is important. Family is important. God found family. He found love under family. And we have to remember, no matter what, at the end of the day, it's usually family that we have to go to and depend on. So don't break those bridges. If there's any problems you have with your family members today, pray and ask God to help you to mend those bridges. Ask him to show you just exactly what it is that needs to be done so that you can be reconciled back. Because you know what? You didn't get your family. God gave them to you. So that means his desire for you to be with those people, to be related to them by blood. So if that's the case, it needs to be right. It needs to be reconciled. And I just pray the spirit of reconciliation over families today in the name of Jesus. And I pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just love the Lord. He's just such a sweet, sweet spirit on the line this morning. I believe that God is opening our hearts up to receive what he has for us so that we can love and forgive and prosper in our lives. His word says that he wishes above all things that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. And I thank God for his word. I thank God for wanting the best for us. God doesn't want any bad things to happen to us. He doesn't want all this killing and murder and anger and strife to be among his people. But it's there, and he knew it was there. That's why he brought in the spirit of forgiveness, so that we could be set free from the bondage of anger and hurt and pain. That's what we spoke on yesterday. I want to thank Brother Greg and Deacon Michael for their participation on yesterday. And I want to thank all of you that's going to call in today. To recap a little bit, we spoke on the pain of unforgiveness. And we learned that it was much easier to believe in Jesus than forgive those who mistreat us, but that Jesus requires for us to both believe in him and have the faith to forgive those who mistreat us. We learned that unforgiveness was a mountain and is also a sin that has serious negative powers that will unleash into our lives. Unforgiveness is like having a spiritual cancer because it grows and festers and multiplies, and it can impact the lives of our family, friends, coworkers, anybody that goes into our pathway. Sometimes we might take it out on them. We might take it out on them and treat them the same ugly way that someone had previously treated us. So God wants us to forgive. God wants us to love. God wants us to help our sister and brother, to lift them up and not walk on them and tear them down. Amen. So let's choose to forgive. I'm talking on the second of the four series of today. Today I'm talking about the punishment of unforgiveness. We have to choose to forgive. If we constantly walk in a spirit of unforgiveness, our life is tore up from the floor. I mean, we're not happy. And there's so many other things beyond the pain that we don't recognize. I'm going to share, like I said, the punishment of unforgiveness. Now, you would think that after learning about the pain of unforgiveness, that that would have been enough reason for any of us to forgive. Yet there are some that will continue on the leg of unforgiveness that will take us beyond the pain to something even worse. Matthew 18:34-35 says, "And his Lord was very angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. And so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto us, if we, from our fears, or we who do not hear, forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses." He didn't say some. He said we have to forgive everyone. Whether it's a big thing or a small thing, we still have to forgive. Okay, Diana Dungy? Okay. Because I'm talking to me as well. Not only was the unmerciful servant that we talked about on yesterday that had been forgiven by the king of a debt that he owed, and then he went out and threw another fellow servant in jail because he owed him and couldn't pay. So once the king heard about this unjust behavior, he said, you know, I'm going to rescind my decision to free you of the debt you owed me, since you don't want to bless and forgive somebody else. He said, and you're going to stay in that prison until you pay every dime back. And not only that, as I just wrote in that in the scripture back in Matthew 18, not only was this servant delivered, placed in prison, but he was delivered to his tormentor. And we too can be turned over to tormentors if we refuse to forgive. Tormentors are demonic spirits who specifically attack the mind and heart of those who are bitter. If we persist in unforgiveness, we open a door for demons to harass and attack us. Now, I know that many people don't believe in demons. It's a little scary to think about demons sometimes, but demons are real. And there are several references in the Bible that talk about demons. In the King James Version, the word demon is not used as demons. It's translated as devil. And the word devil appears 61 times in the Bible. Demons are considered a form of evil spirits that can influence human beings in many ways. Although there are many non-believers about demons and their influences, many religions insist that these spirits can influence or cause disruption in human lives and their faith. Some of the scriptures tell us how to resist the devil, such as James 4:7. It says that if we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, we can resist the devil and he can flee from us. Ephesians 6:11-12 says that if we put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness. We wrestle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So it's saying demons are real. But as we walk in the glory of God, as we put on the whole armor of God, we can withstand the wiles of the enemy. We can forgive. We can walk in wholeness and fruitfulness. But we have to forgive first. We have to repent. There are some scriptures that even talk about individuals who had demons or were possessed by the devil and were delivered. Like in Luke 8, it says, "And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, who was called Magdalene, was delivered from 7 demons. Matthew 12:22 said there was a demon-oppressed man who was blind and mute, and somebody brought him to Jesus, and Jesus healed him so that the man spoke and saw. So it's possible to be demonically oppressed or possessed, but it's also to be possible, very possible, to be free and delivered from it. There are scriptures where Jesus gave us the authority over demons, such as Matthew 10:1. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Jesus had 12 disciples, and we also as his children, as workers of the ministry, are his disciples. So that means he's given us authority over unclean spirits and to cast out demons as well. And since the Bible is God-breathed word of instruction, it was given to man to put on paper so that we could receive wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And I take the Bible for truth. And I know many of you on this line today, I know our bishop, apostle, and the rest of them do. They all believe that the Bible is true and that every bit of it, and as God instructed us to, we can take it. He says, take nothing from it and add nothing to it. The Bible is God's finished word. Therefore, if God says that there are demons, then I believe there's demons. Since we live in a fallen world in which Satan and his hosts are very active, opening the door to demonic activity is a very unwise thing. Keeping a spirit of unforgiveness ruling in our lives is unwise because we open the door for demons to harass and attack us in our minds and our hearts. Now, there's a difference between possession and oppression. They are both classifications of demon influence and harassment toward a human being. So I want to explain a little bit the difference, not to scare you, but just to educate you and to know that unforgiveness not only leads to pain, but it can lead to further punishment as we continue to rebel against the word of God. We open ourselves up for the enemy, and we say, here I am, devil. Do whatever you want. I'm out here on your territory now. When we're walking in unforgiveness, we're on the devil's territory. And in demonic oppression, it says that the demon does not directly attack the person, but influences his behavior and the person's entire life. A person under demonic oppression might exhibit abnormal or changes in personality, attitude, and manners. Even with demonic influence, it doesn't have to be oppressed. A person can just be influenced by demons. And this person also can retain the control over his physical body and mind, but the demon will try to influence his heart. That's where the love is supposed to be. But also unforgiveness can be in the heart. And the demons influence it. That's what causes the pain. That's what causes the spirit of revenge. That's what causes us to hold a scorecard. That's what causes us to try to want to get back at a person for hurting us. It's in the heart. And that's where we become, first of all, demonically influenced. That could also further lead to demonic oppression. On the other hand, there's what's called demonic possession. This is a state where the demon gains full command of a person's body. The demon takes away the person's ability to use his physical body, his will, his consciousness, and his freedom. The body adopts the personality, the voice, and actions of the demon. That's why you see people walking around talking to themselves. There's these voices coming out of them that it doesn't sound human. I mean, it has a whole different tenor to it. They're possessed. By using the person's body, the demon communicates to other people by using a different voice and ways like shouting profanity, taunting the person, all kinds of things. And if anybody walked past a homeless person, sometimes they're not even just homeless. People are possessed to be homeless. But I'm just using that as an example. A lot of times you see them walking on the street and they're very unkempt. Eyes look crazy. And they're talking. And you probably walk on the other side of the street because you're afraid of that spirit. You think you're afraid of the person, but it's actually that spirit that's governing that person that causes you fear. Both demonic oppression and possession need a certain degree of acceptance into the human person's body. I mean, it's not, when we open ourselves up to unforgiveness and anger and certain things, that means we are allowing that demonic spirit to come in and influence us and oppress us and possess us. Excuse me. Many religions and religious people, disobedient, committing sins, having temptations, participating in occult religion, and a lack of faith are major reasons why demon oppression and possession happen. I remember a teaching we received under the late Bishop Dr. Dorothy Washington. She taught us that if you're a child of God, you cannot be possessed by demons. Because we are the body of Christ, and there is no way that God and the devil can reside together in one body. So when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart and life as Lord and Savior, he comes and dwells on the inside of us. He lives in our body. So a child of God cannot be possessed by demons, but they can be influenced, and they also can become oppressed. They will be removed from the favor of God because they're walking in spirits in a way that's contrary to the will of God. So they would have to be delivered and set free as well. But they cannot be possessed. The devil cannot take over their body, but he can try to take over their mind and their spirit. Colossians 1:26-27 says that the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, says, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that proves that when we receive Jesus into our life, he comes and lives inside of us. Luke 17:21 says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within us. Thus, the kingdom of God is within you, it's within me. Any of us that have received Jesus into our lives as Lord and Savior. The kingdom of God is essentially inward within our heart. The kingdom is within our reach if we make the right choices. The kingdom of God is in our midst, in the person and presence of Jesus. And Jesus has never or will ever be oppressed or possessed by any demon, and nor shall any of us as his children. So we don't have to be afraid of being possessed by the enemy. Demonic oppression and possession also can be remedied by doing repentance as well as purification of the body and soul. The most effective way to stop demonic influence is to reclaim our faith, solidify our relationship with God, and walk in the spirit of forgiveness. These elements will help to battle the demon and other temptations. Our very own Apostle Porter has a deliverance ministry, and she teaches a Power in His Name seminar from a book, A Warfare and Generational Curse Manual, that she's written herself through the unctions of the Holy Spirit. Her scripture base for her deliverance ministry is Isaiah 61:1. She says, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent us to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and open the prison to them that are bound. One important thing that she says about evil spirits in her book was that we open the door for evil spirits when we don't obey the words of God and when we continue to allow the lust of our flesh to have its way. When we allow unforgiveness to walk around in our life, we are allowing it to have its way in our life. That could cause the demonic spirits to influence us and eventually oppress us. She used an example that we can't have fear or jealousy or unforgiveness without it being an evil spirit. When we don't repent and change our heart, then we begin to be tormented with the spirit of fear, jealousy, even unforgiveness. Another way to be tormented also, they could be a basis for unforgiveness, this anger, bit of this abandonment. There's all kinds of things that would cause us to be hurt and cause us to walk in unforgiveness. So if any of you feel that you need to be delivered from some of these issues that are out of your realm to cope with, you might want to contact our awesome Apostle Porter. She's anointed in the ministry of deliverance. She and her team, and I believe, God, that they can help you through some of these. Any of you that are there in the Florida area or even want to go there. But we're talking about demonic oppression and depression and how it can manifest itself in a number of ways. It can manifest itself as depression. You know, they have manic depression where a person can turn their face to the wall for days, months, years at a time, just go into a shell. That's a person that's been demonically oppressed, and they can even become demonic possessed. A person, unforgiveness can cause demonic oppression to show up in their anger and confusion, and even some go as far as committing suicide. Now, I'm not saying that all depression, anger, confusion, and suicide is demonically oppressed or caused by unforgiveness. But if unforgiveness rests in an individual's heart, it can become an open door which allows for such attacks as anger, depression, confusion, and even suicide. So we have to have a clear understanding of the power, the pain, and punishment of unforgiveness. It's a strong motivation to change, because I don't want to be oppressed by any enemy. I don't even want to be influenced. So I have to forgive. The repercussions of us not forgiving is so serious. It's very important that we deal with it at all costs. We must resolve our unforgiveness before we can even find peace. The problems associated with unforgiveness simply aren't worth the satisfaction of getting revenge on another person. We have to tear up the scorecard. Each time we get into an argument with a person and start recounting all the things that they've done to us, means that we're keeping a scorecard of everything. We may have said back somewhere in the relationship, we had a disagreement and we said, I forgive you. But as soon as another argument comes, not only do we pounce on the situation that's going on now, we bring all the other stuff that the person did. That means we didn't tear up the scorecard. We didn't forgive them. We just keep bringing up their stuff again and again. I remember you did this. And sometimes they say women can tell you the color of shirt you had on, the room you were standing in, even what time of day it was. We can remember all that. We are holding the scorecard. We are keeping track of every little bit and piece of thing that person has done and is allowing it to just live in our spirit and just communicate to our spirit and just talk us into a tizzy, because we're not going to be able to have fun with this person all the time. We're always going to wonder, okay, what is he doing or what is she doing when I'm not around, or analyzing their words, breaking them down, little things that they say. I mean, we're holding a scorecard. We're putting that person on the defense. I mean, they can't even feel comfortable around us. They have to walk on eggshells because they're afraid that something they may say or do is going to trigger some reaction in you, have you going off, and then here's a big fight. You probably go to bed angry at each other, which the word says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. The Bible says that it's best that we immediately forgive, we immediately talk about a situation, resolve it, before we go to sleep at night. Who knows whether we'll wake up in the morning? We go to sleep with all this anger and hatred and unforgiveness in us, and not able to ask for forgiveness, not able to repent, then where are we going to open our eyes when we wake up in the next life? Are we going to wake up and be in hell? Are we going to wake up and be in heaven because we have asked someone to forgive us, because we walk in forgiveness, because we have repented and asked God to clean us from all unrighteousness? It's simple, but for us, we make it so difficult. But God said, just ask me. I mean, just be sincere and mean it in your heart and say, Lord, I forgive. Lord, help me to forgive. He'll do it. The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness and unforgiveness. Perhaps the most well-known teaching on unforgiveness is Jesus' parable of that unmerciful servant that we talked about in Matthew 18:21-35. Remember, in that parable, a king forgives an enormously large debt, basically one that could never be repaid, from one of his servants. And then later, however, the same servant refused to forgive the small debt of another man. The king hears about that servant and refuses to forgive the small debt of another man, and he rescinds his prior forgiveness, as I talked about earlier. Jesus concludes by saying, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of us unless we forgive our brother and sisters from our hearts. Matthew 18:35 and other passages tell us that we will be forgiven as we forgive. Matthew 6:14 says in there, Matthew 7:2, Luke 6:37 are also examples. I know many of us get scared and squeamish at the mention of demons, but that was not my purpose here. My purpose is to let you know that demons are real, but that the Jesus is greater. Our messenger sent to enlighten you on the consequences and punishment of unforgiveness to take over your life can and will do to some of us. It doesn't happen to everyone, because eventually some of us are going to get tired of this useless, uncontrolled life and allow Jesus, who is much bigger than anything we can face, we're going to allow him to save us, deliver us, and set us free. I also don't want you to be confused. God's forgiveness is not based on our work. I know his word says that if we don't forgive, he can't forgive us. But, you know, even in the beginning, when we first ask him into our life as Lord and Savior, he forgives us. God's going to forgive us throughout our lifetime. And it's not based on what we do or who we know or how much money we have or how much work we do. Because works without faith is dead. God is not pleased, and he's not mocked. If we don't have faith in him, we can't do anything. And to have faith in God, we have to also believe, have the faith to believe that we can love others and we can forgive others. Forgiveness and salvation are founded completely in the person of God and by Jesus on his redeeming work on the cross. Even on the cross, before Jesus breathed his last breath, after they had stuck him through, they beat him down, made him carry his own cross. They did so much stuff that Jesus lashed him across his back with thongs that had pieces of metal and glass at the end of it. Can you imagine that? They did so much to him for what? Jesus knew no sin. He was perfect. But he did it because he knew we were sinful. He knew that there was nothing that we could do to make our life any better. So he decided, I'll do this for you, Father. I'll go and lay down my life. I'll let those people beat me. I'll let them call me names. I'll let them spit on me. I'll let them do all that because I love my brothers and sisters that you have created. So he said, I mean, they didn't take Jesus' life. He gave it to them. Jesus laid down his life for us. That was his redeeming work on the cross to redeem us from any sin, any unforgiveness we may ever have, and to deliver us from being influenced, possessed, and oppressed by the devil. Jesus did all that for us. And then right before he closed his eyes in death, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's the same thing he expects us to do. Because when a person is driven by the spirit of the enemy, when their life is not in God, a lot of times they don't even realize what they're doing. They are being led by another spirit other than God because they chose to live that life. They chose to walk out there and do certain things and hurt people. But because they don't know Jesus, because that spirit of conviction that Jesus gives those who he loves is not on them, what are they doing? They're just following the guidelines of the devil who they worship and live for. So we have to recognize and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then pray that they come into the full knowledge of God, that they turn their lives over to Jesus and let him change them and groove them and help them walk into the love of God, just as God would have us to do. It's our actions that demonstrate our faith and the extent in which we understand God's grace. James 2:14-26 and Luke 7:47 tells us that. We are completely unworthy, yet Jesus chose to pay the price for our sins and to give us forgiveness. That's what Romans 5:8 tells us. So when we truly grasp the greatness of God's gift to us, we can't help but pass his gift along. We have been given grace, and we should give grace to others in return. In that parable, we were all appalled at the servant who would not forgive a minor debt after being forgiven his unpayable debt. Yet, when we are unforgiven, we're acting just like that servant. As Apostle further says in her manual that I mentioned earlier, she said, let us not get caught up spiritual warfare and the study of demons that we forget to study the life of Christ. Christ, the one who brought us the deliverance in the first place. Because anytime we move from death to life, anytime we move from darkness to the lightness, anytime we move out of sin and receive Jesus to our life as Lord and Savior, then we have been delivered as well. Our one desire should be that we come into God's presence and praise and worship him. We should want to know more about God than we want to know about demons. And I tried not to talk too much on demons today because it's not about demons. It's the deal is that demons can influence us when we walk contrary to the will of God, when we walk in unforgiveness. But the main thing is knowing about God and coming into his presence, worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Not going to church shouting because the pastor's shouting, jumping because the pastor's jumping, and then leaving the church and going out and having a drink or sitting up thinking about what in church what we're going to eat instead of thinking about how awesome God is. We can't be sidetracked by the enemy. We have to stay focused. We have to recognize that Jesus loves us. He gave his life for us, and now he wants us to give our life for others. He ain't expecting us to go up there on the cross and get nails in our hands. But he is asking us to submit. He's asking us to give up ourselves and the things that we desire in order to help somebody else. We can't focus on our foreign no more. We need to focus on the people that God has put in our pathway. There's many people out there in the world that are living without hope, that are living in unforgiveness, that's living in shame and sin and looking for peace. They're looking for love. And we have the answer. But we have to first start with ourselves. Apostle gave us some steps in the power of his name. She says that, first of all, we have to admit our hurt, our wounded feelings. Admit that we've been wallowing in the sea of unforgiveness and take accountability for our actions. Then we have to forgive and repent of our wrongdoing. We have to recognize our fears. What our fears does and that draws us, what is our fears that cause us to act anything contrary to the will of God? What we fear draws that very thing to us. We have to allow God to heal our self-image. We have to read the Word of God daily so that we can see the truth, so the light can shine on the dark areas in our life. We have to have the power of the enemy so that we can change the circumstances in our home, our business, our church, our city, even our nation. God has given us authority over all the powers of the enemy, as it says in Matthew 6:18-19. The gates of hell shall not prevail, the keys of the kingdom, and whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What we do in spiritual warfare is simply declaring the strongholds of unforgiveness in our lives. We bound up, and this means that we are bound in and tied up in the spirit realm. Now, when we accept God, we're no longer bound up. We're released from the prison of pain. The handcuffs are taken off as we forgive, and we're placed, and they're placed on torment, the tormentor, who has been tormenting us and causing us to forgive. And then that spirit is imprisoned and tied up in the spirit realm. We took the spirit of unforgiveness, laid it at Jesus' feet, and now we become free. Amen. I know many of you guys out there want to be free today. Many of you want to be free from the spirit of unforgiveness. You want to be free from the pain that someone has inflicted on you. And so we're going to pray. We pray, Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We repent of all the sins in our lives and also in the lives of the spirit of unforgiveness that we may have that has tried to oppress or possess us. Lord God, we repent of all disobedience, all rebellion, all mistreatment of others, all lying, cheating, using, slandering your name in vain. Because, Lord God, some of us say the GD word, and that's slandering your name. We repent of all perversion, lust, incest, fornication, adultery, idolatry, all witchcraft, murder, and any occult involvement. We repent of being angry and selfish and vengeful and even thinking suicidal in our quest to not forgive those who have hurt us in some way or another. Lord God, we ask you to help us to forgive others for any unjust act and even forgive us if we've committed any unjust act against our brothers or sisters. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness and your cleansing through the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for any sickness or disease that's over the radio broadcast today. We pray, Lord God, that you, and we take authority, the authority you have given us, and ask that you anoint us right now, Lord God, as we command all demonic spirits of anger and rage and fear and depression and destruction and torment and guilt and bondage and vagabond and rejection, all unforgiveness and bitterness and mind control, double-minded, confusion, sickness, disease, pain, all addictions of food, alcohol, drugs, sex, pornography, gambling, even nicotine. We call it all to come out of the bodies of your people today, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, and we say that no demonic spirit is welcome in our temples. We command our mind, our spirit, and our emotions to be set free today. We pray and we break every demonic assignment over ourselves and every family represented on this line. Satan, we command you to loose your hold on us now. You are trespassing and you have no place. And we pray that any power that we have given to the enemy by walking in unforgiveness, we command it to be gone from us right now in the name of Jesus. We snatch back the power we have given the enemy right now. And in Jesus' name, according to Galatians 3:13, Lord God, we thank you that you have redeemed us from the curse of the law. Lord God, we know that you're the way, the truth, and the light, and we as your children, through your Lord Jesus, are able to cast down all these demonic powers and the spirits that come against us and our families, Lord. We are not cursed. We are blessed. We are blessed in, and we're blessed coming in. We're blessed coming out. We are the above and not beneath. We're the head and we're not the tail. We're blessed, and when God is blessed, it cannot be cursed. We are free and we are saved. We are now exercise our faith and know that confession, Lord God, under salvation is in Romans 10:9-10. We confess it now. We confess that all our sins have been remitted, and we are loose from the curse that came as a result of disobedience, unforgiveness, and rebellion to your word, Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, and we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for forgiving us and loving us. Thank you for setting us free from every curse and spirit that has operated in our lives. Father God, we pray for discernment and a new vision to help us recognize and resist all evil, all fleshly, all worldly ways that we may have. Lord God, we pray and we declare that we are now anointed through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you, Jesus, for your guidance, for your discipline, and we continue to be victorious soldiers. We continue to be holy children of God. We continue to listen to your word. We continue to hear your voice. We pray that our voice, our ears, Lord God, be tuned to your lips so that we only hear, do, and say according to your will and your way. Lord God, I thank you for everyone on this line today. I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that they have heard your word, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that they receive it in the context, Lord God, that you have sent it out. Because we know, Father God, that your word does not go out void, but it shall accomplish yekarada shanda. Lord God, yekarada dekekeka shanda. Heal today, Lord God. Heal, Lord God. Heal your daughters. Heal your sons, Father God. I speak peace, Lord God. I speak peace, Father God. Peace, Lord God. Peace. Peace. Peace, Lord God. Send peace to the hearts and mind of your people right now, Father God. Lord God, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for being so awesome, Lord God. Oh, Father God, today we just love you, Lord Jesus. You're so wonderful. You're so marvelous. You're so awesome. There's nobody like you, Lord God, not in heaven and not in earth, Lord God. Nobody can love us the way you love us, Lord. No, Lord, no, nobody, Lord God, can forgive us for all the stuff that we have done in our life. Those that people have seen and those, Lord God, that only we know that we have done. Even you know that, Father God. You know the things we've done in the darkest of the night, and you still love us and forgive us. And I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, that you will help us to love and to forgive just like you do. Help us to tear up the scorecard today, Father God. Help us to go to our brothers and sisters, to our husbands, our ex-husbands, our wives, ex-wives, to our children, even, Lord God, our pastors, the people in our congregation, Lord God, who we felt may have wronged us, or there's some kind of distance, Lord God, help us, Father God, to be big enough in you, to decrease ourselves, to lower and submit our hearts and go to our brothers and sisters and ask for forgiveness and even to forgive, and tear it up right then and there. Tear up that scorecard and start over fresh and new, because you give us fresh and new. You give us life. And I speak to every dead area in anyone's life, any person laying up in the hospital where the doctor has said there's nothing more that we can do. I speak life today. I pray the spirit of adoption over each and every one that don't know you today, Lord God. And I ask you, Father God, to save, deliver, and set free. We stand in the gap, Lord God, for them today until they come to know you as Lord and Savior of their life. We speak to the nation. We pray for our president today, Father God. We ask you, Lord God, to surround him with your love. Let him see you, Lord God, in the lives of others, Lord God. Take away the blinders, Lord God, and let him see you. Open up his heart and let him love and forgive, Lord God. Take away all the poison and the hurt, Father God. Because as we know, Lord God, hurting people hurt others. We want loving people that will love others. We want to be the loving people that love others. So that when people come into our presence, they can't help but feel the glory of God all in us and through us and around us. We want to look just like you, Daddy God. So we thank you for showing us our shortcomings. Thank you for showing us our weaknesses, showing us how we are walking in unforgiveness so that we can repent, so that we can come into the full knowledge of you, so that we can walk in love, so that we can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord God, I thank you for this awesome ministry. I know I don't pronounce it right, but Lagolian International Ministry, under the directorship of Bishop and Apostle Porter. Bless this ministry, Lord God. Bless their finances. Bless their health. Let people give unto their bosom a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Oh, Father God, increase their territories. Enlarge them, Lord God. And, Lord God, keep them, heal them, and bless them. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Are you ready to go? Anybody ready to go yet? Come on, give us a call here. Bless God. I know somebody having a question. You want to, hello, you want to call? You want to call. Okay, you on there. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. First of all, I want to say thanks to Apostle for being in my life. And I was asking a question. What happens if the person think they know everything and you cannot talk to them?
Pray for them. There ain't nothing else you can do for them but pray for them. Pray and loose the spirit of adoption over their mind, their heart, their soul, their will, their emotions, and say, Lord, I turn them over to you. This is your child. You created them. You know just exactly what you need to do. And then just love them.
Okay. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. You know, I have a scripture for that, and that's when a person is like that. That means that they're under a shadow. They Unforgiveness is a shadow in a life. And Proverbs 28:13 say, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confess and forsake them shall have mercy. See, it's been covered. They done covered it. It's under deep cover, you know, because they don't want to admit it that, you know, they've done whatever they've done, and everybody know it. So, therefore, God is talking about it. He talks about how they do that, how people do these things, hide. And in Isaiah, he also said, woe to them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. See, they're in the dark. See, they got a dark shadow over them. And they say, who see us and who knoweth us? They don't want to admit it. They don't want to know about who, what you know. I don't, you lying. It's fake news. You, and all of that is what they're doing. But, you know, I thank God for Pastor Dungy going forth today. Like never before. Now, you got a chance to call and give us your opinion of the word or message or whatever. Come on now. I know y'all, the cat ain't got all y'all tongues. Come on, amen, and say something. Okay, you're there.
My name is Doris. Hello, my name is Doris Patterson, and I am a supporter of Diana. And I just, I don't have a question. I just want to let her know I'm listening, and that I am praying for her, and that I love her very much. I call her Miss Beautiful Diana, and so that's why.
Yes.
And we have been, I've known her for years at Good News Church here in Houston, Texas, and we love her. And we're on the prayer line together on Saturday mornings. And, Diana, keep on keeping on. Love you much. And thank you, I think it's Prophetess Porter that I heard yesterday and today. And, God, just keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus.
Amen. Praise
thank
the Lord. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's my elder, yeah. That's my elder. She keeps me in line.
All right.
A beautiful, awesome person, and I thank you, elder, for being online and supporting me as you always do.
Oh, you know they're gonna. Yes, go ahead. You're on the line. Hello. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello. Go ahead. You're on the line.
Yeah, this is Sharon, Pastor Sharon, and I'm just calling, enjoying the word of being in the spirit, walking in the spirit of unforgiveness, and I really believe the word is for now and is on time, and that God wants, you know, his people a lot of time we pay more attention to the unsaved man with the unforgiveness, but we don't pay attention to the ones that are walking in with Christ, that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And when you're dealing with things that happens to you in your lifetime, that there comes a time when you have to allow God to come in. You could, there's a time when like you'll say, oh, God tell you to forgive the person 7 times 7, you forgive and forgive. But then there comes a time when you have to really go, keep going to God, because there'll come certain things that keep happening over and over. And I found out, you know, with the word that you were talking about and what we got the teaching on also, that it opens doors for other things. And a lot of people don't pay attention to when you you really have to keep going to God and test yourself to see, have you gotten over when things happen again? How do you respond? Do you respond the same way? Or if you're responding the same way, go back to God and say, God, it's me. You can't even say the person anymore. God, it is me. I need your help. I need you to heal my heart. I need you to teach me and show me how I should handle this. What should I do? Because if we don't ask him to even show us how to, we'll keep saying, okay, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. But But, you know, I found out that it's even times in my life, I can share this, that with my siblings, he would have me, Sharon, before you can go to the next place, I would call them and said and ask them to forgive me for things that I've done, willing and knowing and unknowing. And I do that, and sometimes they'll take it, yep, God told her she had to get it right with me. But you know what? I found out it doesn't matter what the other person say anymore. Mm-hmm. It's about you, the person, getting yourself right with God in order to keep going according to the direction he wants you to. And yes, there's times also, I heard yesterday also, it's a hard thing sometimes. It all depends on the situation. Sometimes it is hard. You'll say, well, I forgive. Certain things you say, yes, I forgive, and you move on. But certain things, when it cuts like a big hurt down more, you have to just keep on saying, God, I need your help. And I found out that he will send some answers your way. He'll show you, he'll teach you. And it does not mean tears won't come to your eyes. It don't mean that you won't have to say, keep your mouth closed at times. It does not mean those things. But I just thank God for the word, because you don't want those doors to be open to have other things to attach itself to it. Long time ago, God told me this. He said, people that have been hurt, you'll hurt someone else. You say, what? Mm. When we know in the natural, when there's an animal is wounded, you don't go close to a wounded animal. Why? Because they're under attack. They will come at you. Why? Because they are wounded, and they don't know what it is that you're trying to do. But I just thank God for the word. It is a blessing. If you allow God to continue to use you, because God is really doing a work right now. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor Sharon. So
amen.
True.
Amen. Amen. Huh? Hallelujah. Anybody else got anything you want to call and talk about what God has done, how God has forgiven you, or have you let it go yet? Praise God. Come on now. Sometimes you don't let that stuff go. And that means that unforgiveness is running wild around in you, and you suck to do anything. You know? All right. Do you want something to say, Deacon Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for you, Pastor Dungy, again. Thank you for that word. And I was thinking, and I was looking, and I thought about something. I thought about, for some reason or other, I thought about Jonah and Nineveh. And I thought about how Jonah didn't listen to the word of God, and he tried to run when he was supposed to talk to the city of Nineveh. So the Lord was giving Nineveh a chance because of the fact that the matter is, he was giving them a chance to repent. He was giving them a chance for forgiveness of what they had done of their sins. So, but the point of the matter is, he needed that mouthpiece to let these people know. Now, a lot of times, where the mouthpiece to let people know on what's going on, and we have to forgive ourselves to get to that point to where we can trust God to do his work. So, and I kept thinking about that, and I went through that story from this angle, is because I was saying to myself, God gave them a chance, and they accepted. They accepted, and they forgave themselves for sinning. They forgave themselves for what was going on. So I thought about that, and I said, and I was thinking that, like, Apostle Porter, Bishop, Pastor Sharon, you, and all those ministers of the gospel who's standing in the gap and warning us of the things that we do, that's warning us of the sins or whatnot and how to act and how to do. And see, and I appreciate the word of that unforgiveness and forgiveness because of the fact that the matter is, like I said yesterday, if I didn't forgive, where would I be? If I didn't ask for my forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, and ask God to clear me of all the garbage and the baggage that's weighing me down, where would I be? And I asked myself that on a regular basis. You know, when we got through yesterday, I was asking myself, I went room and I started asking myself, who is it? Remember, I told you I don't know if I hold a grudge on anybody or not, but I still ask the Lord, is it so? Please let me know. You know, because of the fact you don't want to go to hell with holding nobody on you like that, like you being weighed down in the lake like with some cement boots like the gangsters used to do people. You don't want to be like that. So it weighs on you, and I'm still trying to find out if I harbor anything against anybody, you know, because it is people in my past that I can harbor, but I don't, you know. I try not to. Now, it might be some people here and there I might just straight out dislike, but I ain't harboring nothing against them, you know, but I'm trying to figure that one out, too, because I still forgive them, but that don't mean I have to be in their, in their area and stuff. I can speak to them and keep pushing, you know, and ask them, you know, have you accepted the Lord in your life yet? You know, I would ask them that, you know. It's up to them to receive it after that. But, you know, I'm not going to harbor no ill feelings, you know. But, you know, I don't have to travel in their circles because some of them have, some friends of mine, they have a sinning circle, you know, and I'm not going to get pulled into that, you know. So I have, you know, that's one of them battles that you got to, that I have to fight sometime too, you know, which I know every individual because things do come up on you. And I just thank God for that word of God, and I thank God for that word of forgiveness, and I thank God for that word of unforgiveness. I thank God just for what he's done in my life at this time. I just thank God for allowing me to move on and to get over things, you know. Well, get over them quickly because you know people going to get on your nerves every now and then. So you have to be able to get over them quickly. You know, even if you have to go in your little corner and blow off a little steam, you know, and then you come out all right, you know, that's what you got to do sometime, you know, or count to 100, something, you know. Whatever you got to do to get over it, get over it. And that's the way I feel about it. Amen.
Amen. You said some key things there, Deacon Michael. Like you said that when you sin, to immediately ask for forgiveness. And that's what the word tells us to do as well. And also to search your heart and see if there is any sin in us, any unforgiveness that we may have against somebody. And then even once we forgive somebody, that doesn't mean that we have to stay in their life.
That's true.
You forgive that ex-husband, forgive that ex-wife. That doesn't mean just because you forgive them, you have to go back and remarry them. Just because you forgive a boyfriend and something didn't go right, that doesn't mean you have to get back into the relationship. Sometimes we forgive, we dust off of our feet, and we keep on moving in the direction that God would have us to go.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing, Deacon Michael.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Does that mean, I'm going to ask this question, does that mean about this light? Because I heard Deacon Michael say about the light. I don't like them or something. Just because I don't like them or something. Light. Isn't that kinship to love? I want to know. That's the question I'm putting forth there now. Like their personalities or something.
Well, sometimes you don't have to like a thing, but God commands us to love. But he says, hate the sin, but love the sinner. So we may not like what a person does, and we don't have to approve of it, but we still have to love them. And sometimes our love, like I said, our love covers a multitude of sin. So if we, sometimes we can love a person out of their sin. So you know, we don't have to like what they're doing, but we still have to love them as a person.
True.
That's what I see about it, Apostle.
And we don't have to be buddies with them either.
No.
That's true. We don't have to be buddies with them. Well, that's good. That clears me up because I thought I had to go back to the drawing board and repent. Some people I just don't want to be around no more. You know?
Well,
praise God. I want to make sure myself that I'm not hiding nothing, you know, because it's easy to do that. You know, well, you don't want to do nothing against God's word. And you try to keep it as close as possible, you know, and what you don't know, you ask, you know. And so you can't say when you get up before him, say, well, I didn't know that. And he say, you didn't ask. You know, God tell you you didn't ask. So I like to ask God, is, you know, what about this or what about that? Because
right.
I'm trying to keep my life straight now because it's easy to fall into traps that the devil set. Okay. Easy
Amen.
To fall into them. Get into them, then you can't get out. You know, just like these bear traps they got around here. They got bear traps all around here. We didn't tell you that, did we? They got signs.
No,
I they got signs all around here.
Bear crossing.
Beware. Bear crossing. So
there's what?
Bears. Mm-hmm. So we didn't tell
well,
you that.
Well, thanks for telling me.
We didn't want to scare you. We didn't want to scare you. Sometimes they come up in people's yards and stuff, you know, and everything. Because this is what the country do, praise God. But anyway, we thank God again. And listen, the name is Logion. You don't have to pronounce that. Just say victory, okay? We made it easier. You can just say City of Victory. It's still Logion International is the word.
Okay.
I know it's hard for some people. They call it all kind of other names, but I try to make it easier by saying City of Victory. That's easier to say. But we thank you again, and we want you to know we love you, appreciate you, and you're beautiful inside and out, and we trust that we hear from you again and talk to you later. And everybody say thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Praise. Just thanking God for that awesome teaching today and yesterday. And thank each and every listener for just even calling in and participating on the broadcast. Remember always to pray one for another. And we trust in that, you know, the word did come forth that give you answers to questions that you've been asking God about. So you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. And I want you to save this date if you're in the Florida area, even if you want to catch a plane, a train, a bus, or you know, you carpool with someone else on February 24th at 10 a.m. We have the Men of Issachar. You can come and hear that awesome word coming from great men of God. And that address is 31325 CR 437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. Again, that's 31325 CR 437, also known as Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. So come on, you men, come on, stand and take your rightful place today and just come and hear the word. Come expecting. If the woman of God has blessed you in any way, as God allow her to, you know, minister to you, give you a word, pray for you, and you would like to bless the woman of God, or even want to say, woman of God, I am sending this donation for you, for this broadcast, you know, and bless her, you can send it to the City of Victory, P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. That's P.O. Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. Or you can visit our website at LogianInternationalMinistries.com and hit that donate button. And that's spelled LOGION, internationalministries.com. Again, that's LOGION, internationalministries.com. And hit that donate button. And be blessed, as always. And join us tomorrow night at 11 p.m. for the Wailing Walls prayer line. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333#. So come on, let's tear the devil kingdom down and take back things that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his
way. That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at back then.
When I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him have. So much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle, struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
As
soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the story is,
I can let go,
I let go,
and I can let
God,
let him have,
let God
have his way.
That's when things are happening. Let's go.
He's the only one with the answer.
let God.
Let God.
He can have a little.